Thanks for tuning in to another situational report from SITREP Israel, providing automated situational updates covering security developments in Israel and the region. Updates weekdays at 9 a.m. and 20 p.m. Israel time. And now your host, Mr. Mike Radish.
I'm Mike Radish, an Australian correspondent based in Jerusalem reporting for SITREP Israel. Welcome to the evening edition of SITREP Israel, our automated situational report covering Israel's security fronts. This SITREP was generated on Thursday, the 7th of May, 2026 at 1853 Israel time, 1553 UTC. IDF confirms killing of Hezbollah Radwan commander. Iran awaits U.S. ceasefire proposal, May 7, 1553 UTC, 1853 Israel. The IDF confirmed it killed Hezbollah Radwan force commander Ahmed Ali Balut in a precise strike on Beirut's Dahiya suburb, the first such strike on the capital since the April 16th ceasefire. Two other senior Hezbollah commanders, Intelligence Chief Mohammed Ali Bazi and Aerial Defense Head Hussein Hassan Rahmani, were also killed. Hezbollah launched rockets and explosive drones at Israeli troops in southern Lebanon, causing no injuries. In Gaza, the son of Hamas's chief negotiator was killed in an IDF strike. And Iran is reviewing a U.S. proposal to end the war, with a response expected Thursday, while President Trump paused the Hormuz escort operation after Saudi Arabia denied airspace access. Across the regional picture, starting with Iran, the U.S. proposal, as outlined by the Wall Street Journal, includes Iranian acknowledgement it is not pursuing nuclear weapons, dismantlement of the Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan facilities, a complete ban on underground nuclear activity, inspections on demand, a 20-year freeze on uranium enrichment, transfer of all enriched uranium stockpiles, and reopening of the Strait of Hormuz alongside U.S. easing of sanctions. President Trump threatened a much higher level of bombing unless a deal is reached. Iranian Parliament Speaker Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf dismissed reports of negotiations attributed to U.S. sources as fake news. President Masoud Pezeshkian said Iran will not let foreign pressures derail the nation's progress and shared details of a recent meeting with the yet-to-be-seen Supreme Leader, describing Mujtaba Khamenei as humble and sincere. Iran's Ports and Maritime Organization offered support services to commercial ships in the Strait of Hormuz, and its embassy in Seoul rejected allegations of involvement in damaging a South Korean-linked vessel there. Iran also protested Austria's hasty position over alleged attacks on the UAE. Separately, a new report estimates the Iran war has cost the U.S. nearly $72 billion in its first 60 days, about $1.2 billion per day, nearly three times the Pentagon's claim. In Lebanon, the IDF says it has killed over 220 Hezbollah operatives since the April 16th ceasefire, including more than 85 in the past week. Prime Minister Netanyahu said Balut thought he had immunity in Beirut. Hezbollah claimed a suicide drone hit a Merkava tank in Bint Jebel, followed by artillery on recovery vehicles. The IDF struck over 15 Hezbollah sites in southern Lebanon on Wednesday, including weapons depots, manufacturing sites, command centers, and rocket launching positions. Overnight, approximately 20 more Hezbollah infrastructure sites were struck, including weapons storage facilities, a drone launch position, and a cell transferring weapons by truck. Strikes were reported in Nabatieh, Habush, Haruf, and Kaakayet al-Jis. Lebanese sources reported two killed in an airstrike on a vehicle in Habush. On the ground, troops from the Givati Brigade continue operating south of the forward defense line, dismantling over 200 infrastructure sites, eliminating approximately 90 terrorists, and locating over 1,000 weapons. The chief of the ground forces appointed a senior officer to find solutions for the drone threat, particularly fiber-optic guided FPV drones. On the diplomatic track, Secretary of State Marco Rubio said peace between Israel and Lebanon is imminently achievable if Beirut confronts Hezbollah. Moving to Gaza, Azam al-Hayya, son of Hamas's chief negotiator Khalil al-Hayya, was killed in an IDF strike on Gaza City. He was the fourth son of Khalil al-Hayya to be killed in Israeli attacks. The IDF has not commented. Hamas's interior ministry reported three security personnel killed and four seriously wounded in a strike on a security headquarters guard post in western Gaza City. An earlier strike on a police station there killed three Palestinians. On the humanitarian front, MSF accused Israel of manufacturing a malnutrition crisis by restricting food and aid deliveries, causing severe harm to pregnant women and newborns. Israel said it coordinated the delivery of rat pesticides to Gaza to counter infestation. And the BBC reported fears of renewed war as Hamas disarmament talks stall, with Israel considering expanding the yellow line. On the multilateral track, President Trump paused Project Freedom, the naval operation to escort ships through the Strait of Hormuz, after Saudi Arabia denied U.S. access to its airspace and bases. Kuwait also cut off U.S. air and ground access. The announcement of the operation had caught Gulf allies off guard. A UN resolution draft is advancing to pressure Iran on mines, and Brent crude dropped 4% to 97.47 on deal talk relief. Secretary Rubio met the Pope at the Vatican to discuss the Mideast situation. In other developments, Chad declared national mourning after a deadly Boko Haram ambush killed two generals near Lake Chad. Somali pirates abandoned a hijacked UAE Dal due to dwindling supplies. The vessel had been used as a mothership. Al-Qaeda-linked fighters set fire to food trucks as they continue to blockade roads around Bamako. In France, far-right leaders Marine Le Pen and Jordan Bardella quietly met Israeli and German envoys ahead of a presidential run, seeking to shed the party's reputation for anti-Semitism. The International Olympic Committee recommended ending restrictions on Belarusian athletes. A Buddhist temple in Seoul introduced South Korea's first humanoid robot monk. An FDD analysis warns Taiwan's Kuomintang risks missing lessons from the wars in Ukraine and Iran. The war has devastated tourism in Petra, leaving sites nearly empty. Restoration work is underway at the ancient Ziggurat of Ur using traditional methods. And Iran and Pakistan held talks on strengthening rail cooperation, with their foreign ministers also holding a phone call. Moving to the analysis. First, the trend. The tempo of kinetic activity on the Lebanon front is accelerating. Over the past week, the IDF has eliminated over 85 Hezbollah operatives, a sharp increase from the prior week's pace, indicating a deliberate campaign to degrade Hezbollah's command structure. The protagonist set remains unchanged, but the U.S. role has shifted from direct naval escort to diplomatic mediation. This window's events suggest Israel is exploiting a perceived opportunity before a potential ceasefire, while Hezbollah's retaliatory attacks remain tactically limited, avoiding mass casualty incidents that could trigger a broader escalation. On the information environment, Israel is pushing a narrative of operational success and deterrence restoration, while Hezbollah's messaging is being overshadowed by the IDF's confirmed kills. The U.S. is advancing a peacemaker framing, with the ceasefire proposal leak serving to pressure Iran. The gap between reporting and evidence is most acute in Iran, where official denials of negotiations contrast with detailed proposal leaks, suggesting internal regime discord. And the synthesis. The killing of Ahmed Ali Balut in Beirut is not merely a tactical success, but a strategic signal that Israel is willing to violate the de facto capital sanctuary to decapitate Hezbollah's operational leadership, testing the limits of the April 16th ceasefire. This move, combined with the U.S. diplomatic push, suggests a coordinated effort to force Hezbollah and Iran into a corner, accept a ceasefire on unfavorable terms, or face continued attrition. A counter-reading is that this strike will provoke a severe Hezbollah retaliation, potentially derailing the talks. However, Hezbollah's measured response so far indicates a calculated restraint, prioritizing survival over escalation. The pattern points to a coercive bargaining strategy by Israel and the U.S., leveraging military pressure to extract concessions before the diplomatic window closes. And to wrap up, the OSINT indicators and dual-lens predictions. Watch for Sentinel-1 imagery over Beirut for damage assessment at Dahiya strike coordinates. Monitor Flight Radar 24 for any Iranian military cargo flights landing at Damascus or Beirut on May 8th. And track the Money Fabian Telegram channel for real-time confirmation of any new strikes or attacks in southern Lebanon. Looking at the predictions through the status quo lens, within 24 hours, Hezbollah will launch at least one retaliatory attack on Israeli troops in southern Lebanon, but no projectiles will target Israeli civilian areas. Before the end of the week, Iran will publicly reject the U.S. ceasefire proposal as currently framed, citing unacceptable demands on nuclear dismantlement, and the Iran-Israel ceasefire will hold through May 14th, with no resumption of direct kinetic exchange, though with low confidence. Now, looking at the same indicators through an escalation lens, within 48 hours, Hezbollah will launch a significant rocket barrage of 50-plus rockets at northern Israel in retaliation for the Beirut strike, causing civilian casualties. By May 10th, the U.S. will resume Project Freedom naval escorts in the Strait of Hormuz after failing to secure a ceasefire, leading to a naval confrontation with Iranian forces. and within 72 hours, Israel will conduct a follow-up strike on another senior Hezbollah commander in Beirut, leading to a collapse of the April 16th ceasefire and a return to full-scale hostilities. That concludes this SITREP. For more, visit sitrepisr.com or subscribe on Telegram at t.me/Israel_sitreps. This is Mike Radish, signing off from Jerusalem.